Please turn in the back of your bulletin or in your Bible to Esther chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. We're continuing our study of women in the Bible, having last week studied Ruth. And then for the next two Sundays, we'll be looking at women from the New Testament. Beginning in verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that you, because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Black abolitionist leader Harriet Tubman will be appearing on the front of the $20 bill, with Andrew Jackson going to the rear of the bill, and Founding Father Alexander Hamilton will remain on the $10 bill. We remember Harriet Tubman because she's called the Moses of her people for leading so many of them out of bondage to freedom. Tubman is best known for escorting 300 slaves to freedom via the Underground Railroad. She was an abolitionist, an integral part of the Underground Railroad, a humanitarian, a suffragist, and a Union nurse and spy during the American Civil War. Although she started as a slave, she led many people to freedom. And today we look at another woman who was born for such a time as this. Esther was an orphan brought up by her older cousin Mordecai, who later on would become the queen and save her people. You've probably heard the adage, "Behind every good man is a good woman." I prefer, "Behind every good man is a surprised mother-in-law." Today, we will study a case in which it could be said, behind a great man who is not a good man, was a great woman who was a good woman, who changed the course of history. Her Persian name was Esther, which meant star. Her Hebrew name was Hadassah. It meant myrtle, a branch that signifies peace and thanksgiving. How appropriate her Hebrew name was for such a time as this. In the background, we begin with King Xerxes. In fact, his title meant King of Kings or Emperor. The Roman historian Herodotus tells us he had a fleet of 4,000 ships and a 2-million-man army. He was the most powerful person at the time in the world, and Persia was the most powerful empire until the time that the Roman Empire eclipsed it. And approximately 481 B.C. was when he reigned. It had been 103 years since Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews into captivity, 54 years after Zerubbabel had led the first group of exiles back, and 25 years before Ezra led the second group to Jerusalem. All but a few thousand of God's people were in the Persian provinces where they'd been exiled. The king was the leader of 127 provinces, and he brought all those leaders to the capital for a 6-month party. If we think that sometimes there's corruption in the world around us, imagine the president having all of Congress come to the White House for a 6-month party. And then another week of feasting after the party, and then in his drunkenness demanding that his queen come to see him. And by the way, the law of the Medes and the Persians read that once the king of kings said something, it was the law. So he had absolute power. And it was common for the Persians to put on a feast before launching a war. And that's what they were doing. In this case, they were planning to invade Greece. The invasion would end up with victory for the Persians at Thermopylae and a crushing defeat later on in 480 BC. And at the end of this week, the king sent for Vashti, his queen, to come. But she knew that all he wanted her to do was to display her beauty for his lecherous men. She refused him. And so the king got rid of her as queen. One action, and she was deposed. And then he sent out his men to find the most beautiful women in the kingdom. And providentially for the people of Israel, Esther was chosen. Her cousin Mordecai had offended a vain, powerful official named Haman, who by trickery got a decree signed that all Jews would be put to death, and he even prepared a gallows for Mordecai. What was Mordecai's sin against Haman? He refused to bow to a wicked man. So we see the entire Jewish people's lives were on the line. But God stepped in. And we see from the text that Xerxes could have killed Esther for coming in unannounced. Imagine this. The King of Kings could have killed the queen for coming in without announcing and him allowing her to do so. That was the kind of society they had. For such a time as this, Mordecai thought Esther came to the throne for exactly this reason. It was a time when the king and the rulers of the nation were selfish and immoral. And we read in Proverbs 29:2, "When the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan." And Haman was wicked to the core, but God had a plan. And I'll be reading two verses from Scripture that describe what happens. Psalm 10, verse 2. "In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the scheme he devises. He boasts of the craving of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord." And then, turning over to Proverbs chapter 5. We read in verse 22 and in 21. "For a man's ways are in the full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast." And literally, that's what happened to Haman when his death trap that he had planned for others was sprung instead on him. And we have these same kinds of problems today, whether we look at government, whether we look at business, whether we look at families. We read in Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And we read from Matthew, "Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch.'" Whether it was the King of Kings in Persia or whether it was the Pharisee, none could come against the providence and power of God. It was a time of worldly pomp and show. It was a time of selfishness. They neglected the nation and its welfare. It was a time of immodesty and debauchery. We should be thankful that the Queen had the moral courage to stand up for what's right. And not only that, she saved her entire people, and there's a feast known as Purim that is celebrated today because of what Esther had done. That at the end of the book of Esther, God commands the people to remember this time when you were saved by the Lord. And human life was cheap during this time. Imagine a decree saying that 2 million people would be killed by one simple law. It was a time that cried out for a good woman of courage. And we see there, we see the sacrificial love of Esther, which reminds us of the sacrificial love of our Savior, being willing to die so that our people could live. Her silence would have been sin. It would have been a sin of omission. We know that evil prospers when good people do nothing. That she was in that place, that she made an ethical decision that required sacrifice. And are we willing to make that same kind of ethical decision that sometimes requires sacrifice? I remember back to World War II. After Chamberlain had met with Hitler, Chamberlain arrived and he said, "There will be peace in our time." But Winston Churchill knew better. He knew that you can't make an agreement with someone who wants the world as his own. He knew that you can't compromise with evil. So Winston Churchill, even when the rest of Europe had fallen to the Nazis, he led England when they were all alone. And he inspired them during the Battle of Britain, when he said, "Never before in human history have so many owed their lives to so few." He was a man of courage who stood up for his people. And as we've been studying these women of the Bible, we see them standing up for their people. We saw Deborah, who was a judge, who made fair rulings and then encouraged her people to go to war and to defeat their oppressors. We saw with Ruth, who did not abandon Naomi, but worked hard and was in the fields doing back-breaking labor until a kinsman redeemer would redeem her. And we see that she was in the line of Jesus. We see over and over and over again women who took a stand of faith. And we see that not only in the Old Testament, we'll be studying that in the New Testament. That when evil rises up, there have been good women who've chosen to stand with the Lord. And who've chosen to be with Him even when the world is against them. Reminding us of times like when Daniel or Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego stood up against an emperor. And would not bow down to a statue, to a human being, because they knew that their God was still on the throne, that their God was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Xerxes was not the King of Kings. He died and is barely remembered. Our God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He's coming back for us. The Lion and the Lamb, the Alpha and the Omega, we know that our Lord is coming back for us. And for such a time as this, that we have a Savior that intercedes for us, and we have a Holy Spirit that is there for us. And in this time, if anyone at such a time as this wants to make a decision or needs to come to pray before the Lord, now is your time.